Hi everyone, my name is Donna and I am an alcoholic and I want to welcome everybody, the newcomers and those that are coming back. I'm going to share on step seven, so it might seem like a big distance between where you are and what we're talking about today in step seven. And I want to start today with the seventh step prayer. So if anybody wants to join in, please do. You guys are muted, so I'll say the prayer. So on page 76 of the big book, and for those of you that are new fellows, please get a big book. Get somebody to take you through this big book. So it says, when ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. So a lot had to happen before I got to step seven to be willing to say that prayer on my knees. Now, the original manuscript of how it works, it says, humbly on our knees, asked him to remove our shortcomings. And why are we humble when we get to step seven? So for me, and this is my experience in the work, doing this deal. In step one, I really was able to see how much power I didn't have that I thought I had. I really thought I was a great big such a much. And it wasn't even with alcohol that I realized that I didn't have power. I had lost the power to choose whether I would drink or not. But I couldn't see that. That's how smart I was. My mind wouldn't let me see that next time was not going to be different. I was believing the lie all the way through. And because I came into Alcoholics Anonymous with willingness, open-mindedness, and honesty, I didn't balk too much along the way. I loitered, especially when it came to step four. But there was this uncomfortability that I would feel inside that I knew I had to pick up the pen. Because all of a sudden, when I come into AA and I start doing the work in AA, I start being aware of uncomfortability. See, I never really allowed uncomfortability to play out because I was always running from it or numbing it. And so now I'm really feeling when I feel threatened or out of control or fearful. So it says, when ready, how do I become ready? And what am I becoming ready to do? I'm ready to start putting God first. Well, that's a big pill to swallow when you never really thought about God. I mean, I went to Catholic school, 13 years, including kindergarten, but it was always just a prayer we said. It was praise and worship, praise and worship. I never really gave much thought to the God idea. I didn't dislike God and I didn't like God. It's just that I never really lived a life where God was the central part of my existence. But when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and how it works, this is what caught my attention. If you have decided you want what we have, now, I knew that when I came here, there were people that had something that I wanted. And what was it? It was a peace of mind. It was a wisdom about this illness, a wisdom about life. And it was a lot more than just not drinking, because sometimes I would leave the meeting. I would go to the meeting feeling fine and then leave the meeting not feeling fine. So it started to get to a point that meetings weren't enough, especially if you didn't call on me. It was little things. If you drank coffee and slurped the coffee, that would trigger, and I'd be like, I'm out of here. It didn't take much for my mind to convince me that I didn't want this program. And I get to see, because of the work I do, that my whole life is contingent upon how I think everything needs to be in order for me to be okay. But see, I can't afford to live like that as an alcoholic, because if there's too many things that are outside of me that are not in alignment, I'm going to hear that voice that says, oh, go pick up a drink. See, I'm not like normal people. See, I watch enough TV and movies where people come in and they throw the keys on the desk, and they throw the coat, and it automatically goes on the coat rack. And then they go to the bar and they open a bottle and they have a drink. See, I can do all of those steps. I can come in and put my key, throw my key, throw my coat, throw my bag, but I'm not having just one. So I can't afford to convince myself that it's okay me just not drinking. Because there's something that's starting to make me feel really irritated, restless. All of a sudden, I'm restless, discontent, irritable all over again. And the only solution I know is drinking. I was never introduced to this solution the way it's outlined in AA. So I'm willing to go to any length, and I see, damn, on my own, I can't get past where I'm at. And I'm willing to believe in this power. And they made it so super clear, Donna, we're not forcing you to believe in anything that you can't believe in. If it's a small belief, that's enough. They said, you didn't have to have faith. Thank God, because how do I have a faith in this God that I never tried before? So I followed the directions, and the thing that made me willing is the people that were on the path with me. See, this is why we never leave AA. I have to be here for you, and you're here for me. And all of a sudden, I realize that I'm not separated from the human race. I'm connected. We all need each other, but I don't know that living my life. And so I make this decision that I'm going to transfer my thinking and my actions over to the God that I never really was willing to rely upon. But I realize, what do I have to lose? I was given myself permission to push past prejudice, closed-mindedness, needing to know, all the things as a human being I thought I needed to exist. And was I willing to live life from an entirely different perspective? And the reason why I was willing, because I saw that it didn't hurt any of the people that had been here before me. I knew that because they were willing to go to any length, their lives was better. They was experiencing the promises on step nine. And the way the promises are written, things are slipping away. Things are disappearing. I've tried all my life to be at peace. I tried all my life to have confidence. I tried all my life to be comfortable around you. And then I'm reading in this book that things are disappearing and things are slipping away. I want that to happen for me, because I'm tired of trying in my whole life, trying, trying, trying. And so I say this prayer in step three, and there's no amen at the end of the third step prayer, because God is guiding me and showing me what I can't see with my own limited thinking, this personality that I created that has nothing to do with how I am as a true individual. Because my entire life is based on what was done to me, what wasn't done for me. If you made me believe that I was worthless, I believed it. And all I'm doing is judging you, and you're judging me, and I'm competing with you, and you're competing with me, and I'm gossiping about you because I need allies. If I don't like you, I need other people not to like you. Oh my God. And I'm asleep to all of this behavior. I'm asleep to mine, but I see yours, because I'm living my life as a separate entity from you. And then I do that fourth step. And as I'm doing that fourth step, see, when I said that third step prayer, I realized that I was going to also say that set aside prayer, because I've never done an inventory before. And I was not going to believe my mind to take me through step four, because I saw in step one that my mind doesn't let me see the entire truth about anything. I saw it very clearly when it came to alcohol. So once I was able to see that my mind is a liar, I was willing willing to say, you know what, maybe I'm going to say that set aside prayer and put the pen on my paper and trust that what comes down on that paper, I don't need to think about it. And lo and behold, things were coming down on the paper that I knew wasn't coming from my conscious thinking, like kindergarten. I'm 45 years old. What the hell is kindergarten coming up on an inventory? And I'm doing a sex inventory, and I think I know every guy and every person that's going to be on the list. And the first name on the paper is a name that I had, this person I had neatly forgot about because I didn't want to see it. And so I began to believe that there's something to this thing. And then I sit in that fifth step with another human being thinking that I have nothing. I'm so disconnected to you. I do the most intimate thing I've ever done in my life with another human being, and that's tell my entire life story. And here it is, I'm convincing that I'm separated from you. That fifth step is no separation. And then after that fifth step, I also sit quietly again with the God of my understanding. So now here it is, two things, two myths are being smashed. My reluctance to believe in the God idea, my reluctance to connect with you because I think that I need to protect myself from you, and all that changes in step one. And then I sit quietly in step five by myself, and all of a sudden I start feeling at peace. I start experiencing what I saw and what attracted me to this program from the people that were here before me. And I get to see, man, the way I've been living my life. And I realize not only do I see my own defects of character, I see humanity. I get to see that most human beings really don't care about one another. And I'm humbled by that. And I get to see this wonderful opportunity that we get to be. And it says, I'm quoting from the big book, we become agents. We get to carry this message. The original manuscript said, as a result of this, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these 12 steps, we carry this message to others, especially the elderly. And we get to do this. The same people look down on. Walk past us, act like they didn't see us. You ever go to a party and you see a person that's drinking and watch people act like the person who's out of control with their drinking is not in the room? They act like they don't see us. And then all of a sudden, we're no longer visible. All of a sudden, we're messengers, we're agents. And we get to craft that here in these rooms. And so I get to step six, and it's like, okay, God, like I really don't want to be this way. I'm humbled. I really get to see what life is like living in self-will. And God says, let me take that from you. And I'm going to give you what you need. And all of a sudden, we discover spiritual cleansing. And what do I mean by discover? We start living them. We start experiencing them. And so after step three and the experience I have in four and the humility and the honesty that I exhibit in step five and my willingness to have God remove these things in step six, am I ready to be one? See, if I'm giving God all of me, good and bad, that means that I'm living my life in a position of neutrality. See, I don't like to live my life based on good and bad because that's all ego driven. See, my life is fine when everything's going okay. I love God. God loves me. I love you. But as soon as life changes on a dime, because life will change on a dime, then all of a sudden I don't think I'm okay again. So can I live my life, wake up every day to a new day? See, my mind is so crafty, it'll be raining outside, and my mind will convince me it's going to be a bad day. And I believe it. So I'm willing to give God all of me. Now, This requires a deeper surrender. See, for me, this whole journey has been being okay and not knowing. Had a full day today, right up until I went and did the hair and the makeup, because that's the only thing I do when I get prepared to come to these meetings. I do my hair and my makeup, that's it. And I got quiet right before. But I realized that I don't need to prepare to speak. Because I don't know who needs to hear what I need to say. And I'm willing to trust God that God is going to say what you need to hear. And so that means letting go of control. But I've been doing that every step. Willing to let go of control because of the experience that I'm having that is happening to me. I'm not manufacturing these experiences. And so it takes practice, perseverance, a lot of willingness, so that we don't hear the great negotiator. You know that voice. I'm willing that God has all of me, good and bad. Oh my goodness, but does that mean that it's not going to go according to my plan? See that thought right there? Will lessen that surrender. And then I have to have the experience of managing because I'm too afraid of not getting the things that I think I need. So my whole journey has been a series of experiences of not fully surrendering, of thinking that I know before I sit and pause. Now it also says every single defect of character. So I don't know when some of these are no longer going to be in my on my hit list. The one that always comes up for me is judgment. And I truly don't want to judge you. I really don't. But this part of self that still wants to convince me that you and I are not one is going to judge you. These defects become less and less prominent the more I experience oneness. How do I know that? Because I've been practicing. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? How do you get to Wimbledon? I have to say Wimbledon because people in the UK don't know Carnegie Hall. So I add both. Practice, practice. It's so easy to start thinking again. Well, because we've been doing it all our lives. But we have to persevere because we're going to start experiencing these aha moments. Like very recently, I was able to see on a very deep level why judgment. Every single defect of character would stand in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Judgment always stands in the way of my usefulness. And I was able to see because at times I still show up like I'm separated from you. And it took me what it took, it takes what it takes to see what we see, that I was able to use judgment and separate in the same sentence, and I never used it in this, I never saw it so deeply before. And the reason why I know that it's about separateness, because there's more times that I feel oneness, that I was able to finally really, really, really believe that you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're using your gifts in your life, you're dealing with circumstances in your life. What you're doing does not make me any less. I am no less because you're being. And that's a whole new concept for me. So I base my whole existence on the things outside of me. But I'm asking God to have all of me. Now, that all, there's twice. All I had to share all in step five. And I remember I was walking on my inventory sheets like, oh my God, I got to share all. All means all. All is a full surrender. All is not contemplating. So I can be compliant, but not fully concede. I can say all the right things, I can do all the right things, but there's a little bit of doubt because I hear the negotiator that says, but what if? But then what? And if I'm willing to believe the negotiator, I'm not giving God all of me. But when I do, there's things I don't have to worry about anymore. But I always get an opportunity to practice the seventh step because there's always going to be another circumstance. And I love the fact that this big book uses the word circumstances and not problems, because if I use the word problem, I think I got to fix it. It's just a circumstance. Circumstance doesn't make me feel like I got to jump in it. So we're always going to have circumstances. Do I trust my creator, the creator that removed the obsession to drink? See, it all goes back to one. Rashid used to say, Don, it never gets more complicated than one. If I keep going back to one, well, the first miracle that ties me to now, I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to sit on my hands because that's what uncomfortability feels like. I gotta sit on my hands. I can sit here. And I just have to be still. And there's a lot of praying. God, please still my mind. That was a big prayer for me in the beginning when I came in. And everything seemed so foreign. My first job in recovery, my first relationship in recovery. It wasn't the first job I ever had, and it wasn't the first relationship, but it was the first being sober. Oh my goodness, I felt like I was doing everything for the first time. I don't know how to be in this new life. And I think if I can surrender to that idea, Donna, you're not supposed to know. It's okay not to know. See, if I allow my that humble, if I allow myself not to know, then I can be led. Then I can hear this other voice than the voice that says, but what if, then what? Good and bad. That word good and bad, you know, that brings up punishing, trying to be good and bad. But it's the all of me that I don't judge the good and the bad. I have all of me. I was talking about circumstances. See, I think there's three buckets that really trip us up. Relationships, health, and finances. To me, those three buckets. Every time we have one of those certain circumstances, I think they're really designed for us to lean in, to trust the Creator. God, I don't know what to do, but show me how to be. The the more I trust this power. It's amazing the things I'm able to accomplish. It's amazing how creativity flows. How ideas. I got 2 minutes. How I can see every time my mind wants me to think that you and I are not one. I'm acutely aware of it today. And I just go right into God, please have all of me. God, please remove this behavior and show me how to be. But in step seven, I think there's some real fear in the beginning because we want to hold on to what we think we want in life. But if you think about it, none of us, at least I don't believe, knew that we would be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. So there goes so much about what I thought my life would look like. And this wasn't on the agenda, and this is on the agenda. So if I look at it like that, I realize, wait a minute, I really don't know what's going to happen. I fractured my foot. I didn't know that was going to happen. I got asked to speak in a meeting overseas. I didn't know that was going to happen. So why do I act like I need to know? So, yes, God, I'm ready. Have all of me. And remove the things that stand. Because if my responsibility is to be of service to God, then I don't want anything to stand in that way. See, things stood in my way all the time. My judgment, my fear, my belief that I was inadequate, I'm not good enough, all lies. Thank God I was able to see that in step four. And I was also able to see that perhaps when a person is showing up angry, maybe they're in fear. See, when I see me, I see you. And I think that this whole deal is for us to see that we're all so very much alike. So I'm willing for God to have all of me because guess what? I got to go back into the world. Remember in step four, I looked at that list. I looked at that list of all the people I hated and all the people that pissed me off. I had to go look back at the list because those people hold the key to my future. I get to see what that means in the next step, in eight and nine. All of a sudden, there's a whole transformation of how I perceived my pain, you, and all it took was some willingness, some open-mindedness, and some honesty. So there's really nothing to fear because if you think about it, those three things are not what makes change. So there's really nothing like, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. How do I let go and let God? I don't think that we need to worry about that. I don't have to worry about letting go and letting go and letting God if all I am required to do is be willing, open-minded, and honest. That's my mind that wants to tell me what it has no idea. My mind knows nothing about this spiritual path, but yet it acts like it knows and it wants to make me afraid. And it really thinks it's protecting me. So on one hand, it's not a bad thing, but I don't need my mind to protect me from my creator. And what keeps me willing, staying connected to or staying connected to the meetings, being honest. If you're in these rooms and you're white knuckling it, speak up. You're not the only one that's probably white knuckling it. But see, the thing is, we worry about what people think. See, I knew that I was willing to go to any length because I wanted peace. I didn't want to just not drink. Because I was right back where I was. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to be in conversations. I get to see that in the sex inventory. It's interesting. For those of us that are in the big book, that first paragraph talks about the physical nature of sex. I excelled in that, but even that I didn't really excel in because I was with people that were not compatible. You know, it says the one that bemoaned the institution of marriage. I'm with him. Well, Donna, why are you with him if you want to get married? And then, some of us had these credit that I'll get pregnant and he'll marry me. I didn't go that far, but that my mind can take me there. It's that second paragraph that I have no experience in, the emotions. See, if I don't know how to communicate, all I'm doing is making you suspicious. I'm making you jealous. And because I have too much pride to admit that I'm afraid to speak up because you might not agree with me and might not get what I want. I don't say anything, and then I make you wonder. My whole existence, I made people wonder and be suspicious about me. And then I thought, oh, that's cool. He cares about me, and I start making him even more jealous. It's crazy how I lived my life. I don't want to live my life. I want to connect with you. See, I don't need you to agree with me for me to be okay. Because everybody has the right to be right. Everybody has the right to be wrong. I don't think we have the right to hurt one another. I draw the line on that. I try not to hurt. But even that, I have no power and control over. I was in the doctor's office yesterday. I had fractured my foot, and I've been wearing this boot since April. I'm ready for this boot to come off. So I thought I had to get an X-ray. They said, "Oh, you're not getting an X-ray today." That quick, I went ballistic. I kid you not. As much as I believe I'm on the spiritual path and I know how to treat people, all of a sudden I sat there so frustrated because my mind was telling me it's not getting what it wants and it's pissed off. I did a 10 step right in that office with my sponsor, and I apologized to the podiatrist and I apologized to the girl on duty. I didn't see that coming. God have all of me, good and bad, because I never know when I fall short. And guess what? As I was doing all that ranting and raving, it was feeling good. And afterwards, I'm like, so I never know. I live my life not knowing. I have good intentions that I want to be a good citizen of the world. I want to treat you with respect. I want to treat you with kindness. But every now and then, if my ego doesn't get what it wants, oh boy, does it want to let you know that. And so that experience I had yesterday enabled me to see, oh no, that's not a behavior that I want to jump into on a regular basis. And that's how I live my life on a regular basis. If customer service has me on the line too long, as soon as they pick up the phone, I'm already with an attitude. So no,
Hey,
God have
Donna.
all of you good and bad. Is it time? Thank you.
It's been time, sorry. My
Thank
mistake.
you. All right. See, I was on a roll. So listen, guys, thank you so very much for allowing me to be of service. And I'll see you next week when we talk about the list.